And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm your host, PJ, filling in once again for Meg, 437-1620, if you have any questions or want to join the conversation today. Kelly Simpson from Santa Rosa County Animal Control is our guest for this half hour, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So what is new at Santa Rosa County Animal Control?
One of the things that's really been hitting hard of late is that we've just seen an uptick in animal cruelty and neglect cases. And it's not just our county. It's, you know, Escambia gets hit, and Okaloosa's had some massive cases. But, you know, one of the things that we rely on most is people reporting what they see. You know, if you see something, say something. And a lot of these cases would have never happened if it wasn't for some, you know, passionate community member being like, hey, this is just not right. So that's something that, you know, is very important to us, and we treasure our folks that do that, and we try to do everything we can possible to get these animals out of harm's way. And you know, and it's very intense. You know, our team and the person reporting it, they're seeing the animals, you know, living their worst life, and it's a very impactful moment when you're going there to help rescue. It might be one, it could be 69 animals. You know, you never know when you're going on to a scene like that, what you might encounter.
Mm-hmm. So you say it's happening a lot. Are you seeing this on a daily basis, weekly basis? Is it?
It's hit or miss. You know, it's one of the feast or famine parts of our world. But you know, Okaloosa County had, I think, 3 hoarding situations in like a 6-week period of time. It was something like 300 animals that's coming into an already taxed system. And, you know, and like we just had one that, you know, we went there for one animal and it turned into 69 animals being pulled off of a property. And, you know, when you go into that kind of a situation, you don't just pull the single animal that's, you know, that's being affected. You pull anything that's got fur, feathers, and more than 2 legs off that property to get them out of harm's way. It's just like if you've got a, you know, a child and family endangerment kind of a case, they don't just take the one child, you know, out of that property. You know, they remove all children from that property. Yeah. And then we're kind of in that same boat, you know.
So, yeah, so it's not just the cats, it's the parakeet and the iguana and whatever else.
If they've got fish, I've got a bucket. You know, that's it's just one of those things where we take everything off the property that could potentially be abused if it's in that bad of a situation.
Yeah, and so we were talking a little bit off air about this, so... first of all, if somebody else from the community happens to want to surrender a pet or have a different situation come up, and you mentioned, well, that you're dealing with 60-plus animals and that they might not understand why they're being turned away.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, everybody thinks that, oh, you're county funded, you need to take my animal because I'm a taxpayer. If we just took in 70 animals in one single day, if we don't have the space, we simply just don't have the space. And it's not that we're turning it away to be mean, because we are a no-kill facility. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're, you know, 95% or better getting those animals adopted out, getting them out to rescues, or having to do medical health care for an extended amount of time, depending on what we just inherited from a case. So there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, and we're doing everything we possibly can to do the right thing for these animals. Thankfully, you know, Florida is, you know, leading the way in a lot of the nation as far as animal cruelty laws. And that's something that I am very, very thankful for, because I've come from a state that was 49th in the nation, and doing animal control there, it'll break you.
Yeah.
So, you know, having a state that actually has laws in place and, you know, state's attorneys that are chomping at the bit to prosecute those kind of cases, it's a fantastic situation to be in, where you can advocate for those animals and see the results from it, albeit slow. Mm-hmm. You know, we get them out quick, but, you know, the wheels of justice, you're seeing some of these cases that come through that might have happened in 2023 or 2024. You know, if you're on our Facebook or watching the news, you're going to see these cases, and they're like, why did it take them so long? Well, the wheels of justice, we got the animals out immediately. Mm-hmm. But the seeing the actual case, you know, we don't have like a bragging wall, you know, on our Facebook saying, hey, this is what we just did, you know, that kind of a thing.
So, yeah, absolutely. So we were talking a little bit too about on that particular day where you have 60 animals come in, and just the space needs of a shelter to begin with. And you were telling me that you can't just like send them out to foster or send them to a volunteer's home. You have to hold on to them for a while too.
Right. Yeah. There's a process for that. If the owner doesn't immediately surrender them over, we have to be awarded their custody through the court system. So those animals may be in our system for some time before, you know, that ever happens.
Mm-hmm. What do you need for reporting when situations like this come up?
The biggest thing is the actual firsthand witness statements. You know, it's so many folks, well, I saw this on Facebook, and they might be based out of Michigan, and they have no idea if there's an actual person behind that Facebook account and that kind of thing. You can't take a Facebook claim and then roll with it and expecting us to be able to act upon that claim.
Mm-hmm.
Or the, my friend visited, saw the abuse, but she doesn't want to get involved. That's a really common, you know, reporting statement that we'll get. So if that person doesn't want to step forward, we have to be able to attach a true witness to this behavior so that we can act upon what the claim actually is. We can't do third and fourth hand information.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other important things is if you've taken pictures and you had to trespass on that property to get those pictures, the defense is going to eat that up. We're going to get laughed out of the courtroom, and the entire thing will get thrown out.
Oh, wow.
And so we've got, you know, when we're talking to folks and we're like, okay, so you've got pictures. Fantastic. Love it. Was that from the road? Was it from your own yard? Were you on the second floor of your house and you can see in your neighbor's backyard? You know, these legal ways of getting that information to us, because they call it fruit of the poisonous tree. You know, as soon as you have a picture that's been taken illegally or information obtained illegally, the whole case is cooked.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying that sometimes there's the issue of hearsay, too, depending on how the claim originated. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, so if it's not something that you personally witnessed and you're not able to say what you saw yourself and you're speaking on somebody else's behalf, that's hearsay. So I mean, all of us have watched, you know, Law and Order and, you know, these legal shows, and you hear the defense attorney, that's hearsay. Well, that's exactly what that is. That's what they're talking about, because if you can't vouch for it yourself, mm-hmm. and it's coming from another, you know, competent individual, you know, an adult, and you're saying what they saw, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
You can't do anything with that.
What are some of the like surrounding issues for the individuals who decide to hoard animals? Like what kind of causes that?
A lot of times their heart is bigger than their brains, mm-hmm. and they want to be a rescue. And then they realize how expensive it is to rescue and how it never stops. And if you don't, you know, get the animals fixed and you're not vetting them and getting them out of your system that you have created, they end up becoming overwhelmed. And that in itself brings shame. So then they start holding on to all these animals. They don't want to open their doors anymore, because then someone's going to see the conditions that they're in. And then at that point, then if we get called out and it ends up being a massive, you know, undertaking to pull all those animals out. We've had cases where there might be 250 cats inside of a household.
Mm.
And so you can smell this story already,
yeah.
You know, that kind of a thing. So
yeah.
There's just no way to, in a healthful way, to keep that many animals inside of a home.
Mm-hmm. So if people want to learn more, or if they want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
They can, animal control for Santa Rosa County is a 24/7 operation. You know, so our shelter hours are 11:30 to 4:30. However, we are on duty, you know, 8 to 4:30 all the time. But mm-hmm. then we also have an officer on call for emergencies.
Okay.
So 850-983-4680, option 2 gets you to animal control.
All right. We'll be back with Pep Talk after this.
Let me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors, at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
Hi, I'm Layla Ali. I might be undefeated in professional boxing, but there's one problem I can't fight alone: childhood hunger. 17 million kids in America struggle with it. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
To help solve hunger in your community and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Join Corey Miller from Goodwill Gulf Coast Friday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel for their inaugural show. They will be discussing services which are available free to the community and how Goodwill can serve you. Topics will range from education, employment, resources, and more. Text or call in your questions Friday and go online to goodwillgulfcoast.org.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
1 second I'm having a smoke. Next thing I know, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous and you're not. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Man, I loved playing high school sports growing up. And it's fun being a fan now, don't get me wrong, but sitting in the stands feels like I'm missing out on all the action, you know? I wanted to get back in the game, so I signed up to be a high school official. It takes me back to my playing days. I'm supporting students, and I get paid to make the big calls. Do you want to see the game up close? Sign up to become an official in Florida at highschoolofficials.com.
Barkley Van Camp and Robbins.
MVR.
Weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm your host, PJ, filling in for Meg once again, 437-1620, if you want to join the conversation. Kelly Simpson from Santa Rosa County Animal Control is our guest for this half hour. And 4th of July is coming up. So what do we need to know about pets and 4th of July?
So the last thing you want to do is end your, you know, great time of the 4th of July with a missing pet. And that's something that we see a lot of, you know, the animals that we think are rock solid. You know, when there's rockets, you know, the neighbors next door firing off every box they bought it at Sam's or on those little shacks on the side of the road, you know, they think it's a war zone and it freaks them out and they take off and, you know, heaven forbid if they actually run into the road, but if they just take off and get lost and then they don't know how to get back because they aren't normally off the property,
yeah.
You know, the best way to do that for them to get home is to have your pets microchipped. That is something that is, it pays for itself in spades and it's very easily done. You register it and within a matter of minutes of us picking up an animal, that's the first thing we're doing is scanning it to see if it's got a chip so we can get it home.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to take it back to the shelter.
Right.
We'd want to try to bring it to the house. But, you know, some ways that you can help calm your pets down, you know, during all of that, because it's inevitable, is, you know, create a safe space for your dog. You know, have a room or a kennel that's, you know, every favorite toy, their favorite food, and very calm music, things that could distract them even when you're not home. You know, turning on, you know, that dog channel on YouTube, you know, where the music's playing or you got the TV going, something to distract them from the outside noise. And moving your dog into that safe haven before the fireworks begin, you know, be ready for it, you know, plan ahead, you know, is your best course of action in that situation. But also asking your vet about pheromone diffusers, thunder shirts, they may need medication to help calm them down.
Yeah, we call it puppy melatonin.
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, making sure that you're prepared going into it because Lord knows they're going to be closed and when you realize you need it, you're not going to be able to get what you need. So plan ahead on that. And, you know, again, just making sure those chips are, you know, registered, making sure they've got collars on, some way to identify them so that we can get them home as fast as possible.
And is microchipping something that you all do, or do you work with partners to get that done?
We just had a massive chipping, like, drive-through clinic, and we had 230 38 pets come through in a 2.5 hour period at the shelter, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. We're gonna do it again in the fall, which doesn't help the 4th of July, obviously, but when it cools off some, because we were thoroughly soaked by the end of that day after seeing that many animals, and so we decided we're gonna do another one in the fall so that way we can get shots and microchipping up to date. Mm-hmm. But you can get it done at your vet. You can get it done at some of the pop up vets at Tractor Supply and the Mission Waterfronts. They have the traveling pets or the vets coming through, mm-hmm. and you can get them done at those locations as well. The most important thing is that if you do have a pet that has a microchip, get that joker registered, because there's nothing more frustrating than when we're trying to get an injured pet back home and we can't, because we can't get a hold of the owner.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like microchipping is a fairly quick process if you can handle that many animals.
It is, yeah. It's really a large bore needle with a chip that's about the size of a grain of rice. Mm-hmm. We insert it under the skin, and that gives us a 15-digit number when we go to scan it. And that number, we put it into a system, and it tells us who that company manages that number. And then we call them up. We get the information from the owner. It might be a phone number, an email, and an address. It could have a backup person in case that other person's normally out of town. Our military folks are really good about having microchips because it's typically required from base to base.
Oh, okay.
When I was active duty, I had a backup person that was never going to go anywhere. So my parents didn't deploy. They didn't ever go anywhere. So I always had them as a backup on my microchip. Mm-hmm. So that way, if at least they knew how to get a hold of me.
Right.
So you can do that as well on your microchips.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you mm-hmm. can do backups on the microchips. Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, if people move, to make sure that they get that data
absolutely
updated.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you ever, you lose that paperwork, you can go to any shelter or any vet. They'll scan it, give you the number, and then you can get that information so that you can switch it over.
Mm-hmm. So I know people like my wife, for example, was taking our dog for a walk last night just before bedtime. She wanted to wait till the sun went down, so it was a little bit cooler. But with it being 4th of July, they might want to walk their pets a little bit earlier if the dog requires that.
Exactly. And I'd probably, limit some of the water and the food intake prior to, other than just their favorite thing to get them, to settle down. And that way they're not having to have their legs crossed at 2 a.m. when the neighbor's still drunk and firing off all those, M80s.
Yeah. Well, and with 4th of July being, it's a day, but it's really a week or two in certain neighborhoods.
And this being a 250, that's going to be an epic celebration, and I think people are going to really drag it out and then go all out. So this mm-hmm. is some time that you're going to really have to plan ahead and make sure that your pets are secure.
So just realizing that your pet needs a little extra attention, maybe a little bit more petting, more time on the couch with you,
absolutely,
if you allow that.
Absolutely.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Let's talk about Community Cat Days.
Yeah, so normally we do them on Thursdays, but because of the holiday, we do have some changes in that schedule. So if you need to, participate in the Community Cat Days, pay attention to our Facebook. As we release the dates, we will have them on there. But just note that it's not going to be every Thursday for the week, for the month of July. But we're still cranking them out, 50 plus spots. Every time we walk in the door on a Thursday, we're ready for it. But we just only have people 30 people showing up, a lot of these days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being underutilized when we could really be getting ahead of the TNR programs, getting those community cats fixed so that we can try to shut down some of that cycle so that we don't have so many sick and injured cats in the long run.
Yeah. I know last time I was here filling in for Meg, we were talking quite a bit about it's kitten season. Are you still seeing that? Is it slowing down?
It is absolutely not slowing down.
Oh, okay.
It is full bore. That right now we've got sick kittens coming out of these colonies, and they've got the upper respiratory stuff where they've got panleukopenia, or we've got cats that they climb into the engine bays of vehicles and they get tossed out down the road, and they're getting run over or they're getting injured from the fan belts and that kind of thing. Because mm-hmm. This is when you get up in the mornings, take your hand and smack your hood, make sure that there's nothing living up under there while you went to sleep that night before.
Yeah.
So you kind of see a little bit of it all, and it's just because we've got so many cats and we'd like to think that we're making a dent, but it's still, it's really rough right now with all the kittens.
Okay. If people want to trap a cat, is that something that they can do with your assistance?
They have the option to get traps from the shelter, and mm-hmm. it's a $65 deposit. You get that money back when we get the trap back, so it's not even a rental. So they can get the traps because they do have to be brought in a trap, not any type of a kennel of any sorts. And then we get them fixed. They pick them up the next morning, and they take them right back from where they came.
Okay. And is this for Santa Rosa County residents only, or
correct.
Can surround? Okay.
Yeah, it has to be a Santa Rosa County resident.
Okay. Well, we'll be back with Pep Talk after this.
Hi, I'm Layla Ali. I might be undefeated in professional boxing, but there's one problem even I can't fight alone. Childhood hunger. Over 17 million kids in America may not know where their next meal is coming from. That's 1 in 5 children. Yet billions of pounds of surplus food produced right here in America just get thrown out every year. That's more than enough to feed every last hungry child. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids before it goes to waste. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank by going to feedingamerica.org. Together we can knock out hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
To help solve hunger in your community and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
What do I cherish? Precious moments watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted on an eye exam when I noticed him struggling with the words on the page. We found out Dad has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Luckily, the doctor caught it in time for treatment, so Dad can still read. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-254-6552 for a free packet on preventing and managing AMD. That's 1-800-254-6552.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, it's the roundup event for Favor House at the Escambia County Equestrian Center on Mobile Highway. Wear your best Western gear and enjoy the live music and great barbecue for a great cause. See favorhouse.org for more. Saturdays from 9 till 2, stroll through more than 200 local vendors in downtown Pensacola's Palafox Market, named by Southern Living as Florida's best farmers market. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Free, informative, local, dependable. Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm your host, PJ, filling in once again for Meg. Kelly Simpson from the Santa Rosa County Animal Control is our guest for this half hour, and going to wrap up today's discussion by talking about the volunteer needs at the shelter.
Yeah, we love our volunteers, and no task is too menial for our folks. If they have an allergy to cats, we have something else for you. Or if you only want to work around dogs, we've got dogs. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to really mess with animals and you want to just wash dishes and fold laundry, we've got that too. And so there is a application on our webpage. It's santarosa.fl.gov /animals. And so if you go to that, the links there for volunteers, there's an application process there where we do a background check. And then as soon as you complete that, then we'll find something for you to do. You can also be a foster with us. So if you don't want the full commitment for having an animal full time, if you just want to watch it for a couple weeks, we appreciate that too. And we have Amazon wish list. We have a thing where you can go there and you can donate whatever you would like to purchase and have it sent straight to the shelter.
Okay, what are some of the top needs right now? We have about 20 seconds. What are some of the top needs on your Amazon list?
Right now, I'm not completely sure, but it's probably got to do with kitten formula, puppy formula, and probably puppy food, kitten food, and collars, and, okay. and probably leashes and stuff.
All right. And the website one more time?
The Amazon is the wish list, and that's for under our shelter, Santa Rosa County Animal Services. And then for the website, it is santarosa.fl.gov/animal.